Good people, we back. Steel Dorsey right here with you. C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, the morale guy. C-Cat, the morale guy in the office, the morale guy if he had to join the military. And I will say...
Is that a position? Yeah, I'm a paratrooper. No, I'm the morale guy. That's what they keep me on staff for.
If you were the morale guy in the military and somebody was like, yo, thank you for your service, and then asked you like, so what'd you do? And you were like, I was the morale guy.
Team chemistry, glue guy, you know.
would they like rescind the thank you?
I mean, if I motivate someone, like in the words of Michael Scott, if I motivate someone to save 100 lives, it's as if that I saved 100 lives.
Wow. You know, I didn't think about it that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Huh.
Imagine we had an unmotivated military, even if we weren't in the U.S. I think they would appreciate me, no?
They would appreciate, you're right about that. I mean, why do you think we give coaches awards? They're not out there, you know, running routes, catching touchdowns, blocking guys in the trenches. They're just motivating.
Yeah, those halftime speeches, they matter.
Wow.
You light a fire under your guys' butts.
Absolutely. Wow, I was over here discrediting the morale guy, C-Cat, and here he is. Proving to me that his position as morale guy needs to be valued more around here. So we're going to start giving you your proper due here on Theoretically Speaking. You know what, C-Cat?
Yeah.
I formally apologize for belittling.
Thank you.
Your morale guy moniker.
Appreciate it.
And speaking of apologies, that's what we're doing here today after week one of the NFL season, where we had so much action. I mean, we had... Joe Burrow and the Bengals need to apologize to everybody that picked them in the survivor pool, including me.
Hey, me too.
Including me and C-Cat. To everybody who picked them in the survivor pool as they lost to the New England Patriots. We have many folks who I've been saying the whole time, you need to make your apology extremely loud to Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, and the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, I got multiple messages on social media saying, yeah, Dak Prescott. I got one that says Jerry Jones from a guy named Caleb. There's so many people that need to profess their remorse to those folks out there. But then there is, as we continue to get updates on this story out of Miami Gardens, where before the Dolphins game with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which they pulled out 20-17, they got that win. Tyreek Hill was one of the many of breaking. I mean, it was a weird start to week one of the NFL season, because right around like 11 a.m., it was like breaking news after breaking news after breaking news. No telling what the heck was coming next. The last thing I expected to see was Tyreek Hill on the ground in handcuffs.
Yeah, I was playing golf on Sunday morning at a par-3 course by myself, really peaceful with a walking cart. Only cost $10. I was really happy with
pretty
myself.
Nice.
And then I immediately drove right home, listened to a podcast or whatever. And then I got in a shower, got out of the shower, and the whole world was different from the time that I woke up at around 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
We had Dak signed. We had the Super Bowl halftime show announced. We had this Tyreek Hill situation.
So, first off, Drake and Lil Wayne both need an apology, because the whole this beef with I'm glad you talked about the Super Bowl halftime show. Kendrick Lamar announced right before week one kicked off that he's going to be performing the Super Bowl halftime show. That whole thing, that whole beef between Kendrick and Drake got kind of re-sparked when Drake and J. Cole made the song, Big as the Super Bowl. I'm sure you remember that. You've heard it. Big as the what? Big as the Super Bowl. No, okay.
No,
wow.
It's not ringing a bell for me.
Okay, it's all good. It's
intern,
all good.
Intern M. Joe in here is bopping along to it
okay,
right now. She knows.
But intern M. Joe knows what I'm talking about here. But like, it got re-sparked in that song, because if you notice in that song, Drake and J. Cole kept saying, we're the two GOATs. It's just you and me. It's just you and Cole. Drake and Cole. When everybody knows in the rap game, it's three guys, and that's Kendrick Lamar. They left him out of it. J. Cole mentioned Kendrick's name in that song. Drake didn't. And people don't talk about that enough, but I do think that was part of the chord striking that happened that made Kendrick go on that rampage when song after song after song came out some months later. I won't get into all of that, but it's funny that the beef got re-sparked with a song that was alluding how it was big as the Super Bowl that Drake and J. Cole were coming together. And then my boy Kendrick said, well, guess what I'll be doing at halftime of this next Super Bowl? Drake, who your mentor, your big bro, your pops-like figure in your life in the rap game, Lil Wayne, already said on Wax with Taylor Rooks in the interview, I want to be the Super Bowl halftime show, because guess where the Super Bowl is going to be at, CK?
Where's that?
New Orleans. New Orleans. The crib. Lil Wayne was like, I want to be the Super Bowl halftime show. He hasn't done that. Drake has never performed at a Super Bowl, and now Kendrick Lamar is going to be playing They Not Like Us and probably rapping some more mentor-like songs towards Drake's kids on the biggest stage in the world. And again, like, we thought Nas killed Jay-Z. We thought Drake had ended Meek Mill. But what Kendrick Lamar is in the process of doing to Drake right now and all of Canada is going to be things. They're going to write books about this. It's going to be documentaries. And I'm not talking about just documentaries like what Aaron Rodgers has coming out on Netflix, Enigma, something small. It's going to be like a docu-series, a 10-part series on what the heck is going on, the dismantling that Kendrick is doing. But let's get out of that. I just did want to say that Drake deserves an apology because in advance, what the NFL is about to allow Kendrick Lamar to do to him is going to get embarrassing. Also, Tyreek Hill deserves an apology. And I say that trepidatiously because, C-Cat, you know Tyreek Hill is he is not without fault in many previous situations in his life, in run-ins with the law, in literal run-ins with his own, you know, mother of his child and his own child at times. Like, he's proven himself to be a pretty ridiculous dude and at times a bad guy. But it seems like, at the very least, the Miami-Dade Police Department has a little bit of trepidation on their own behalf, because the police officer that did detain Tyreek Hill and had him on the ground in handcuffs, face down on the pavement hours before the Dolphins and the Jaguars played at Hard Rock Stadium, that guy's right now on administrative work. And Tyreek Hill, after the game, after the win in which he got an 80-yard touchdown and his celebration with Jaylen Waddle was him, you know, faking the arrest all over again, Waddle locking him up. Tyreek Hill had something to say which kind of alluded to him feeling like he was wronged by said officer.
What if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, bro? Like, worst case scenario, you know, because it's crazy. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, you know, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But obviously, you know, everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know.
I mean, we all know this by now, right? Of course, like, things happen that shouldn't happen. We saw it with Scottie Scheffler, and everybody was able to rally around that. We see it all the time, especially, and Tyreek mentioned it, Javon Holland mentioned it in the locker room afterwards, especially with black men in America. I'll be the one to say it again. As a black dude, I can say it, and you can get mad all you want, but there has been a lot of issues and times, and it happens, you know, year after year, month after month, day after day, that you hear about these kind of things. It was a little unsettling to see that happen with Tyreek Hill. Also, we got to wait until those details come out. But that officer, yeah, I think he should be in apology mode only because what he made Tyreek Hill do to that Jaguars defense on that 80-yard touchdown, C-Cat. I think we knew Tyreek Hill had to get a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. They were going to feed him the football.
It had to happen. And when he caught that ball, that was not 99.9% of receivers in the NFL don't score on that play.
No, if you freeze frame and you blurred out the numbers and the uniform, that was an easy tackle.
Yeah.
First and 10 at the 25-yard line, this team's on a drive. But when you realize it's Tyreek Hill, that's a different gear that you do not have across in the rest of the NFL, and the rest of sports, and the rest of organized team sports. No one has the gear that he has.
Yeah, and it's amazing he's doing that still now above the age of 30 years old. And it's amazing he did that literally hours after being in what he felt was a traumatizing situation where he probably feared for his life. Like, and that's the reality of the situation. It's terribly concerning. It's very negative and bad, but that officer should be apologizing to that Jaguars defense because of what he made Tyreek Hill do to them, a buck 30 and a touchdown in that Dolphins win. Who are you apologizing to following week one of this NFL season? Who do you owe an apology to because they've proven you wrong, or maybe you just were going a little too hard? Maybe you were going a little too hard against them and like, similar to those Giants fans who were heckling Daniel Jones as he walked out of the stadium following Sunday's embarrassing loss, you need to sing your apology as loud as your your dissent was for these folks. 888-760-3776. We're still taking your calls on that. 888-760-3776. Who deserves the loudest apology? We're about to hit the safe bound whip around because we're changing it, right? Because we had so many big NFL games. We're whipping around from game to game, going from city to city where these games took place, and giving you a quick breakdown of it. So how about we just do that right now, C-Cat? How about we get right into that safe bound whip around?
Theo, I'm going to ask of you to hit the next stop sound because I cannot do it currently.
Okay, got you. So, as we gear up for the safe bound whip around, where are we going first?
Next stop,
East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Vikings beat the Giants on their own turf 28-6. The G-men went their second consecutive season opener without scoring a touchdown.
Hold on. Daniel Jones had a touchdown.
Yeah?
He did. But it's just the Vikings scored it. He threw it.
I see.
Yeah. Nah, he threw it. In fact, like we said on the last hour, Daniel Jones, since he signed that four-year deal for $160 million, he has three pick sixes and two passing touchdowns. Danny Dimes, baby. He's diming somebody up. It just so happened to not be wearing the same uniform. By the way, who the hell would want to wear those uniforms that the Giants were wearing anyways?
Next stop,
Chicago, Illinois. Another team's offense without a touchdown in week one, but this time they won the darn game. The Bears overcame a 17-0 deficit to beat the Titans 24-17. Hey, Jonathan Owens, remember him if you're in pop culture, Simone Biles' husband? Yeah, he returned a punt for a touchdown for a Bears touchdown. Will Levis was brought to his knees in horror mid-play after throwing the game-losing pick six in the fourth quarter. Caleb Williams' stat line in his first game as a rookie, 14 for 29, 93 yards passing, 5 rushes, 15 yards. But the stat that matters, one win.
Yeah. That's all. I mean, it's week one of the NFL season. Things are not going to look pretty. It's not going to all be good. As long as you get that win, you are in the right side of the corner, especially if you keep everybody healthy. I'll say this about the Bears team. This is why I try to tell y'all it is undoubtedly going to be a winning team. Caleb Williams is going to have a great season for the Bears, and they are going to likely win, again, 12 games. I've got the Bears winning 12 games, and it's not because Caleb Williams is going to be prolific from day one. It's because he's surrounded with so much talent, both on offense and on defense. That is not a number one overall pick team. C-Cat, you gave the stat. We had Fat Jack on. He gave the stat. 0-14-1. All of the previous number one overall pick quarterbacks in their first NFL start. Who was the one other quarterback, C-Cat, to ever win their first NFL start?
Caleb Williams?
No, before him. Who was the guy?
Oh, it was David Carr.
David Carr. And what was the difference between the Houston Texans and the next 15 quarterbacks that were number one overall?
Wasn't their pick.
They were an expansion team.
Yeah.
They weren't a team that earned the number one overall pick by being bad. They were an expansion team. They were an exception to the rule. I told y'all, Caleb Williams is an exception to the rule because not only is he going to a team that did not have the number one overall pick, they also rebuilt so much stuff around him that he was fortified. The Bears were better than the Titans last year without Caleb Williams and Keenan Allen and Romo Dunze and the other heap of talent that they've added to that roster along with Shane Waldron. It was obvious the Bears would be better than them. I don't know why we fell into the trap of these numbers. Those numbers are not right because it was an anomaly.
Next stop.
There's a trend in the safe bound whip around.
Yeah.
Another team didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Wow.
And another team won. The Steelers 18, the Falcons 10. Of course, Russell Wilson was a scratch due to his calf injury. So Justin Fields got the win. How does that affect your opinion on the Steelers quarterback situation?
It doesn't. It doesn't to me. I think Fields should continue to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers for two reasons. Number one, he adds another dynamic to a Steelers offense that I don't think would be very prolific with Russell Wilson in any ways. Number two, we've seen what Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator for the Steelers, former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, can do with a mobile quarterback dating back to his offensive coordinator days with Ryan Tannehill. He's really good when he's got a mobile quarterback and a good run game. They've got Jaylen Warren, they got Najee Harris, and they got Justin Fields at quarterback. We also have seen what Mike Tomlin can do with average quarterback play. You don't need a guy like Russell Wilson whose ceiling might be a little bit higher when it comes to passing right now. You need a guy that can make defenses think an extra second while you get off some good gadget plays and make it work. And that defense, good as advertised. Steelers can be a playoff team this year. They absolutely can, and I don't think Falcons fans should panic. I had the Steelers in this one winning outright anyways. I don't think you should panic. Kirk Cousins didn't play in the preseason. He's coming off an Achilles injury. Of course, the dude was a little bit rusty with all these new weapons. They'll get good. They'll be better. But the Steelers are going to be a good football team. That's not even a bad loss for Atlanta, in my opinion.
Next stop.
We're going to New Orleans, where the news of the morning was Kendrick Lamar being announced as the Super Bowl halftime show.
Hey, not like us, baby.
It got a lot uglier after that news dropped because the Saints mollywhopped the Panthers 47-10. Bryce Young's stat line, 13-30. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Whoop they tail up and down that field, and it wasn't close. Frank Reich deserves an apology. He deserves an apology today because we said get that man out of here, get in an offensive genius like Dave Canales, who, again, Baker Mayfield looked good without him. He did. Maybe it's Thad Lewis we need to be crediting for Baker Mayfield's play, quarterback coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and maybe it's not Dave Canales. Or maybe you're all the way out on Bryce Young. Who knows? What I do know is the Panthers look worse than they were last year. And to add insult to injury, or really the other way around, the best player on the Carolina Panthers right now is defensive tackle Derrick Brown. I don't know if you heard, but the Pro Bowler actually just suffered a potentially season-ending knee injury.
Oh, my gosh.
And is likely going to have to get surgery. So you traded away Brian Burns in the offseason. Your best player, Derrick Brown, in the middle, likely not going to play again for you. Your run game looked absent. Deontay Johnson was getting open, but he couldn't get the ball because Bryce Young's running for his life still. And delivering poorly thrown balls. Like, there's nothing good coming out of Carolina right now. It's all bad, and it'll continue to be all bad as long as Dave Tepper is the owner, which is why I'm so glad. So many people get mad at me. They try to, like, throw stones at me. They don't want me to be, you know, happy, joyous, having a good time. I am so glad that Baker Mayfield gave me the perfect straw on the camel's back to leave that decrepit franchise when I did and become a fan free agent, because ain't nothing going to go good as long as you got Dave Tepper running that team.
Next stop.
That's a little throwback for you there.
I'm glad you brought up Baker Mayfield, because our next stop is in Tampa, where the Buccaneers beat the Commanders 37-20. Do you want to hear what Baker Mayfield had to say after a great week one win?
Yeah, talk to me, Bake.
Just finding a joy in it. I play my best and I'm having fun, and this group allows me to do that, and everybody in the building. So I'm so thankful for them, and like I said, keep building and keep going.
Are they going to be good this year?
I think so. I think the Buccaneers didn't change much from last year, and last year the Buccaneers won the division. They won a playoff game.
The Buccaneers might be good this year. I kept saying that the Atlanta Falcons have the NFC South sealed up. But if they're not taking a step back offensively, and Dave Canales wasn't as big of a piece of that puzzle as we assumed he was, the Buccaneers could, dare I say, be better this year. Now, it was against the Commanders, right?
Yeah.
Who are now, like, looking for cornerback help after getting torched. They're also obviously starting a rookie quarterback who was not number one overall, but number two overall to a team that actually earned that pick. So, take it with a grain of salt. But, I mean, the Bucs are 1-0. The rest of that division looks terrible. The Saints might be decent. I don't know, man. I guess I need to revise my opinion on the Buccaneers, but I'm again, it's just week one. Let's just everybody relax.
It is just week one. What did you think of Jaden Daniels? He was 17-24 through the air with 184 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but on the ground.
88
yards and 2 touchdowns. That's kind of who they drafted, right?
Yeah. No. Jaden Daniels is going to be a good football player. He's going to be good in this league. The only question around Jaden Daniels is, can you stay healthy? Anthony Richardson couldn't last year, right? Like, that's going to be the difficult part. And Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 240. Jaden Daniels is like 180 soaking wet. So that's my only fear for Jaden. He's a Heisman winner. He's a proven winner. And for Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to draw up some stuff that's going to be good in Washington. But I just hope he can not get himself hurt running around out there.
Next stop.
We're going to stop right here in West Palm Beach because we've got a championship-winning football team in the NAIA level. It goes by the name of the Kaiser Seahawks.
Shout out my guy, Miles Russ, head coach of the Kaiser Seahawks. Shout out the whole Kaiser athletic squad, athletic director Chris Swagger. I mean, they produce champions at Kaiser University at the flagship campus right here in West Palm Beach, left and right. They also have a squad in that football team that just got done beating a Division II team for the first time in the history of the program that competes in the NAIA. They're coming off their national championship win. They are starting off the season on the right foot, undefeated. So make sure you go to KUSeahawks.com to stay in tune with the Kaiser Seahawks football program. But that's not all. They just have one of the 22 national championships that Kaiser has in their building. 22 national championships across their sports. Women swimming and diving, lacrosse, soccer. You got all kinds of sports hoisting the big trophy and dropping red banners over there at Kaiser University. KUSeahawks.com. Tap in with the Seahawks and you will feel right at home. That was the Safe Bound Get Around. But on Mondays, again, it's going to be the Safe Bound Whip Around as we only hit football topics. So get used to it. Tap in with us every single Monday as we round up an amazing season, or excuse me, an amazing weekend of football. And Safe Bound Moving and Storage is the place that you need to go if you're trying to make sure you're moving or if you're storing anything. So Safe Bound Moving and Storage, you're safe with Safe Bound. C-Cat, I'm seeing messages already as people are apologizing, as people are talking their crap. I'm seeing a message here in our group chat here on our YouTube stream, at Theo Speaking on YouTube, as you can tap in. And we got a guy in G. Garcia who's saying he's teasing you for picking Malik Nabers and Drake London back-to-back in your fantasy football league. So is that an apology or is that more so just taunting because those two didn't perform very well in week one?
Listen, no one wants to talk about my fantasy team, but they want to talk about how Josh Allen showed up and showed out with no reason to, with no weapons, right? You always talk about how Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen and Josh Allen's going to be nothing without Stephon Diggs. He showed you against another pretty good offense in the Cardinals where he needed to score 30-plus points. His offense did just that. Josh Allen, talking about earlier on these airwaves at ESPN 106.3, a little birdie told me, and that birdie being myself, my brain, Rex Ryan said Josh Allen might be the best player in the National Football League. I heard it with my own two ears.
I'm not even addressing this. Why would I even give this any kind of why would I talk about the idea that Josh Allen, why do we do this every year? Why do we do this every year? We try to pit somebody up against Patrick Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes got out-dueled on Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson looked like a better quarterback. That's why.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, when are y'all going to learn?
It's like Groundhog Day.
When are you going to learn? Again. I don't get it. I'm like, what would Patrick Mahomes have to do to finally get the infallible tag? What would he have to finally do? Like, what does he have to walk on water while juggling three footballs? What else can he do? But like last year, he won a Super Bowl with Mecole Hardman and Kadarius Toney. He won a Super Bowl going against the Miami Dolphins, whooping their tail at home, going on the road to Buffalo where he can't win on the road. Remember all the talk that offseason or that postseason? Well, you know, Patrick Mahomes has never won a road playoff game. So he's not going to be able to do it this year. He's never won a road playoff game. Then he wins in Buffalo, wins in Baltimore, and then beats the Niners in the Super Bowl. And Josh Allen, who has reached one AFC championship game in his life, Josh Allen, who has been propped up by Stephon Diggs all of his career except for one game, is now better than Patrick Mahomes because he came back against the Arizona Cardinals. I just don't know how the hell I don't know how I can have a serious, theoretically speaking, show here when people are saying idiotic stuff like that and trying to prop up guys against the guy who is unmatchable in Patrick Mahomes. He can't be touched. 888-760-3776. We're still taking your calls for just dole out your apology. Please profess exactly why you were wrong, and it's time for you to be, you know, forgiven. You apologize, and we forgive you here on Theoretically Speaking. 888-760-3776. And on the phone lines, we have Jalen. In North Carolina, Jalen's in North Carolina. He's on Theoretically Speaking, and apparently he has an apology on his heart that he must get out. What up, Jalen?
What's up, Theo, C-Cat boys? How we doing today? I just wanted to say, first of all, I love the segment with the apologies. I'm hearing you apologize to Dallas. I missed the top of this hour, so I don't know. But I know there's one team you owe an apology to specifically, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you praised Atlanta, how good they were going to look. You talked down on Baker, how they were going to look without Canales, and you see how Canales looks in Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. You owe an apology for Carolina. Hold on a second. Pump the brakes. Before I give an apology.
I'm getting there. This is your show, theoretically speaking, so we hold the host accountable.
Yes. All right, what else you got, bro? What else you got?
I'll apologize because I fed you a lot of hype coming out of Carolina, and I'm thoroughly wrong. They are the worst team in the league once again, and it's not even close. I don't know if they win two games this year.
Ooh.
1-3 last.
Derrick Brown is out, right?
Derrick Brown's out for the year. Most likely for the year, excuse me. Not yet. Not confirmed on that, but it's real. It's looking real grim in Charlotte. So I want to apologize for that, but I would like to hold you accountable. Put your feet to the fire because Atlanta looks like hot garbage, and Tampa looks like they could win two playoff games this year.
Now, Jalen, you're a Panthers fan, and you've had to endure these Bryce Young seasons.
I'm really a Ravens fan, truly. I'm just here.
He's in North Carolina drinking a Kool-Aid.
Okay, so do Panthers fans, when do they try to go the Arizona Cardinals route and just punt on Josh Rosen and try to reset things with a new quarterback? Is it even the quarterback's fault? Do they have to do an entire organizational rehaul? What's the solution in Carolina? Because I don't want to get too overreactive in week one, but when you see nothing change from weeks 1 through 18 of 2023, you look like the same team, if not worse. Something's got to change.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of change in Carolina, man. I mean, I think I was big on Bryce during the draft. I was big on Bryce last year and how he didn't have weapons or the protection. I still think the issues are still the same. The defense is actually worse because, you know, didn't bring back Burns, didn't bring back Frankie Louvu. So those two key pieces were not there, and it showed. I mean, they were exposed by the Saints, who still I don't think are going to be a good team.
Oof.
But it's really bad in Carolina, man. You might need to go new quarterback, but you still need a new front five. Like you brought in Robert Hunt. You brought in another guard. His name's slipping me right now. But you brought in two pieces. You invested over $100 million in them. And, it literally looks like week 19 of last season. That's what it looks like. Like this 2023 season.
And the owner's still snapping caps off a dude's head. Ain't nothing going right in Carolina, and y'all wanted me to stick with that franchise. I can't believe you. You owe me an apology, Jalen, for trying to get me to stay down with the hashtag Keep Pounding Crew. Appreciate you tapping in, brother, and we'll catch up with you again later on in the season, and maybe you'll get a Buccaneers apology out of me later on when they play a real team. And that's my problem right now, C-Cat.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to full out apologize to Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers after beating the team that had the number 2 pick in the draft at home, after beating a team that has a new rookie quarterback and a new offensive coordinator who are trying to figure things out at home when you're the Buccaneers and you're bringing back mostly the same crew, they did what they were supposed to do. You know what they got to do next week, though?
What's that?
They got to travel to Detroit. They got to go to Ford Field. They got to go play Jared Goff in a dome. And I believe the Buccaneers and Lions played a decent game last year, right?
Yes, in the second round of the playoffs.
That's what it was, right? So two teams that are familiar with each other, two teams that are bringing back mostly all the same pieces. Yes, you had a bit of brain drain if you're the Bucs by losing your offensive coordinator, but it doesn't look like that was much of a loss. I would love to see what the Bucs are able to do in that game in hostile territory with as loud as that Lions crowd got last night in Sunday Night Football. They're going to be amped up again for this one, another playoff rematch. And I don't know what the line is on that game yet, but that might be my lock of the week for the Lions to cover it. I think they stomp the Bucs out. I think the public are probably going to get a little too high on Baker Mayfield and the Bucs based off of a win over the Commanders. If that line is anything short of like 6, I'm going Lions all the way. I know I lost my lock of the week, though.
Yeah, the Lions the Lions are 6.5-point favorites at home versus the Bucks next weekend at 1 o'clock kickoff. That's what it is right now.
Yeah, 6.5. If it goes down, again, hopefully the public bets it down a little bit. And if it does get down to 6 or under, I'm all over the Lions in that one. On the other side here, on Theoretically Speaking, we do need to get to that very question itself. Should the Panthers punt on Bryce Young this soon, or does it deserve a little more time? Plus, C-Cat had a tricky route to the station today.
I thought we forgot about that.
No, we didn't forget. C-Cat, he was a little peep show.
That's
on
not
the
true.
Way to the dough.
No.
For C-Cat, and we must address because I'm not sure if he's in the wrong, if the lady was in the wrong, even though that feels like you're You're victim shaming if you're blaming her. I don't know.
You're going to want to hear this story.
We're going to have to give it to you on the other side. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. Cover your eyes next time. It's Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It's the greatest outdoor party annually, every single season in football season. It is the Boca Raton Bowl. It's going to be Wednesday, December 18th. And it's going to be at FAU Stadium. But before we get the bowl game between two of the best group of five teams coming together in prime time to face off, we got a bigger face off, in my opinion, because it involves food, it involves cocktails, it involves me. The annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chef's Tailgate Showcase, presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. Oh, it heats up. Tuesday, October 15th. Mark your calendars. Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join me at Brick in Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters, oh, they serve up their favorite tailgate classic. C-Cat, have you been to one of these?
No, I'm always manning the board. I'm always kept out to work in the station while it's going on.
So are you going this year?
I think I will. I think this is my year number one. It's good.
All right. I'm going to make sure we're going to try to petition to get C-Cat in the house for this one because it's amazing. But tickets are on sale right now. It includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. Now, I am going to make you pay here, C-Cat. I'm going to make you actually get yourself a ticket. So write this down.
Okay.
spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. And you can purchase your tickets today. So they're on sale now.
So you're going to call on a favor to get me to not work, but I still got to...
Yes.
Okay.
I just want you to feel like you earned it. I want this memory to like resonate with you fully. And again, you're no better than our fans here, right? Like you gotta pay your way through the door. You're an everyman. You're the morale guy.
I am an everyman.
Yeah. Come on, because I'm working the event. I don't get to go in for free either. I'm working it. I'll be on the microphone, so I'm not free. So you shouldn't be free.
Do you want to hear the crossroads I was put before walking into work today?
Oh, man, yeah. See, and speaking of being an everyman, a lot of men would have preferred to be in this situation, but you're a right-standing man, so it made you uncomfortable. What the heck was this bit of a peep show that you were delivered, you know, unknowingly?
Unintentional. Completely unintentional. So walking into work about 10:30 this morning, maybe 10 a.m., maybe 9 if the bosses are listening. I was here at 8:30 this morning.
Bright and early at 6.
Yeah. As a rooster crow, I got in this morning. And there was two ladies about maybe 20 feet in front of me. The walk from the corner of the intersection to our office, I would say, is about a football field. And this woman was wearing a backpack and a dress. And I guess when standing up for her breakfast that she ate, she put the backpack on while she was sitting down, pinning her dress to her back on the backside.
That's the situation.
So, yeah, you can imagine where her dress from the backside stopped in the middle of her back.
This wasn't like a long dress. This is like a dress that probably came down to her knees maybe naturally
yes.
or so.
Yes.
So this thing is rising.
Essentially
like the sun.
A sundress, yes. And it got pinned to her back where she was showing all of City Place, everything she had underneath the hood. And I was so far away that everything was in view. You know, I wasn't looking straight down. No, that would be awful. I would sprint past her and forget about it the next minute. But no, it was a football field long walk where she was 20 feet in front of me.
Oh.
And she was showing everything she got. And it was a problem because I got people that are also walking alongside me. So they see what I'm seeing. So they might think that I'm looking intentionally.
Right.
So you have me faking phone calls, looking left, looking right, but I still got to walk to work.
Yeah.
Like she's still accidentally doing that. Should I have ran up, tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, miss, your behind showing." Is that what should have gone there? Because no, that paints me as the weirdo.
I know.
That paints me and the guy who's staring at the behind.
That is such a tough spot to be in because also as you're walking in that path to a passerby, they might think you're intentionally walking that way just to continue the peep show.
They might think I don't work here. They think I just wandered in from across the street and thought, let's see where this goes.
I'm starting to think. So here's my question too. As you're walking and you're looking, you're trying to look away from it and everything like that. did it ever even cross your mind, I should tell this lady to stop the peep show, I should yell out, or were you more so concerned with how you were perceived in that moment?
It was all about my perception. There was no way I was thinking about a way to make her life better in that moment and to save her the embarrassment. No, there was only thinking about how I should not be considered as a peeping Tom.
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid that entirely. I was worried there was going to be like a teammate that we work with behind C-Cat's a weirdo. He's a sicko. What's he doing? He is a... He's a man in a relationship.
Yes.
I was going to say like married and then engagement.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
He's Deanna got a girlfriend listening? Of 7.5 years and he's doing that.
Right.
I was terrified that people would see me in that position. So I was exactly just looking at the sky, looking at the clouds, looking at the birds, trying to get out of the situation. I still don't know what I should have done.
Tina comes back tomorrow. We're going to ask her opinion on how you address that. Do you go up and you walk up and tap her on the shoulder? Do you yell out? Do you help out? Do you walk the other way?
See, I do think if I was a single man and
I
liked her personality from behind, I guess, and I was trying to hit on this woman, that would be a move to play. Because if I run up to her like, excuse me, miss, I want to save the embarrassment.
Yeah.
Your thing's hanging out.
Oh.
Just so you know. I want to make sure you didn't do any longer. I think that would be very attractive for her.
I don't think so.
No?
I think absolutely not. I think, C-Cat, you've been out the game too long.
Yeah.
I think, number one, she would be highly embarrassed by that. Too embarrassed to even feel it as a compliment in that moment. And then also part of her is going to like kind of be a little bit creeped out that you were looking at her tail. You
know, she's 20 feet in front of me.
I know. I'm not saying it's your fault. It's just a bad situation to be in. If you wanted her number or something, if you were a single guy, I don't think that would have been the right play. But again, we'll get a woman's touch on it. We'll ask Tina when she pops up tomorrow for the happy hour, because she would be a lot better at assessing that than I. Because again, I've been out the game for a while too. I'm married. You've been out the game as well, and either one of us doesn't really know how that situation gets played out, but I'm glad you didn't get caught by any teammates.
There was no catching.
And no
nothing to be caught.
You didn't get caught, C-Cat. Your hands are clean, and nobody will ever hear of it. Nobody will ever know that happened.
It stays in this room?
Yes, it'll stay between you and I. We won't tell a single soul, including Mike Rizzo, who's pulling up on us on the other side for the crossover ahead of Russo and Rizzo. We're going to talk a little bit about Monday Night Football and give you the poll results on who needs the game more, the Niners or the Jets for Monday Night Football tonight. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Yes, sir, we are. And you know, I'm covered. I'm good. No matter what season we're in, I'm good. I'm comfortable. When I wake up every morning, my AC's right around 68. It was about 69 today. A little warm than I'm used to. A little warm, Mike Rizzo, who joins us for the crossover. But perfectly fine. Because with EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing, I'm always locked in. I'm always good. I don't have issues with my air conditioning because I get them to come in twice a year. I'm a Gold Plan member. They do repairs, but also preventative care for me. EDSisYes.com. That's how you can jump on and sign up today. Get yourself a consultation. Check out your indoor air quality. Find out if it's good enough or not. Find out if you're breathing in bad things, toxins, anything negative. EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing can help you with that. They are your trusted AC experts here in Palm Beach County. Been doing it and keeping you cool since 2006. And the website, again, schedule an appointment around your schedule right now. EDSisYes.com. That's EDSisYes.com. You can book online for all your AC and plumbing needs, 24/7 support. And again, I love that when a technician is about to pull up, they send you a text, they show you the picture of the technician, they give you a full bio, they tell you what sports team they're a fan of, and then you can ridicule them when they walk through the door and, you know, tell them about that Daniel Jones pick six. You know what I'm saying? Tell them go find a new quarterback after you find out what's going on with my AC. EDSisYes.com. C-Cat, this is the perfect guy to bring in right now. My guy Mike Rizzo, ahead of Monday Night Football, ahead of Russo and Rizzo right here, 4 to 6 o'clock weekdays on ESPN 106.3. We got Jets. We got Niners. We put out our poll of the week, and I got to give you the results right now. From our poll of the week, I asked who has the most to gain from tonight's Niners and Jets Monday Night Football game, and the results were pretty clear. 94% said the New York Jets.
I mean, it has to be.
And Aaron Rodgers, right?
It has to be. The Jets need to come out and make a statement tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not I'm not doomsday on the Niners, kind of like how you are.
I am. There's going to be a doomsday. Super Bowl hangover year. It is.
I picked them to win the Super Bowl. So clearly I'm not Super Bowl hangover, Super Bowl doomsday for the Niners. But this game's more important for the Jets. How can it be? You got Aaron Rodgers back for the first time since, oh, by the way, the last time he played in Monday night, which lasted three plays. Yeah. C-Cat, you got the exact play over there?
Four
plays.
Hey, but they won without him.
And the only thing I remember from that game is him carrying the American flag and then falling on his bum and us never seeing him again and having to deal with Zach Wilson all year.
Yeah. Absolutely horrendous. That was bad. And I hope that they're able to rectify those demons and whatnot and move forward, because I do have them winning the AFC East this year.
Wow.
Before we get out of here, though, we're going to touch on our punchline picks and stuff like that throughout the week, because it went bad for both sides. Those Browns.
Oh, man.
Deshaun Watson. I just need a little taste of what you're going to get people on Russo and Rizzo. What the hell was going on there with the guy that was $230 million guaranteed? And it looked like a guaranteed bump.
I'll make this guaranteed bump.
Looked like it.
I'll make this quick. I think it's going to be the worst contract in NFL history. Oof. Theo. I really,
not Daniel Jones.
I really do think.
Not Daniel Jones. So, not Russell Wilson.
But not everything was his fault. How about that?
Yeah, you're
not
right.
Not everything was
Both
the guy's
tackles
fault.
Weren't there. You'll give more information on that on the other side. Russo and Rizzo. That's C-Cat. That is Mike Rizzo. I'm Theo Dorsey. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. Russo and Rizzo next.